One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Can We Help You podcast. I'm Jax.
I'm Franco.
I'm Sash.
We are the brothers and sister you wish you had and always wanted through your entire life. Even if you had brothers and sisters, we're like the extra ones that you're like, wish they were my brothers and sister. Every few days we take your questions, Ronnie's, and we throw them around.
Bingo. I knew we were going to throw them around. I knew it.
Well, we speak them into the ether, sorry. And we hear our voices and we go, oh, great question. Hey, can we help you with that?
Oh, God. We are not a witch or Wiccan podcast, for those who might be confused. The ether sounds very like...
What is the ether? People say that. Know. I've said it.
But, you know, into the ether.
Is that the internet? Is that what the ether is? No. Okay.
What does into the ether
is
mean?
Is ether like Alexa, a cable? That's what I
what
think.
What does into the ether mean?
From moviecultists.com. So, to say that something is in the ether means that it is something being communicated from place to place.
Means that something is being communicated from place to place. It has no precise location, just as a radio broadcast can be heard from many different places.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Into the ether.
I thought it was the internet.
Well, it could be the internet.
It could be anywhere.
It's being communicated from place to place.
I'm trying to find a good segue. Yes. Something I have to ask you about. I can't think of a segue, so I'm just going to ask you about it. You're wearing a very, very nice T-shirt today.
Oh, thank you. Very nice. Very expensive T-shirt.
What is with...
Sure
okay,
it was.
Quickly, Jax is wearing a Taylor Swift Eras Tour T-shirt. Very nice. Why is band merch so goddamn expensive? They're just AS colour shirts.
It really is.
It's not like it's like great quality. They're not bad quality, but it's not like it's great quality.
They're fine.
Like, fuck.
I'll tell you what, though. Probably cost them like a dollar to produce, right?
Oh, my God. There's and kids in sweatshops in Bangladesh who are making these T-shirts, and they're making an absolute fortune off them. I'd love to see some stats on merchandise v ticket sales for like those big gigs and what the difference in cost, like price, like profit. That's what I'm going for. Profit is.
I'll tell you this much. I mean, this particular tour, the merch line is not short.
No. It was like that when I went to the Chili Peppers.
No, that'd be a big part of your night.
Yeah. We were.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to the Chili Peppers, the people I was going with were already there and my transport was complete. I caught like in where I live, there's on-demand public transport, right? And basically what it is.
What does that mean?
Okay, what?
It's called Bridge.
That's just Uber, right?
Yeah, but guess how much it cost me to go from Five Dock, where I live, to Sydney Olympic Park. So, yeah. Jax, that probably doesn't mean much to you. Franco, you might have an idea. I don't know how many Ks it
that's
is.
That's a decent drive, if, like 20-minute drive?
About 20 minutes. If I was to catch an Uber, and I was going at the time I went, so it was about 5 p.m. on a Thursday night and it was a concert, it would cost me, I reckon, at least $40 in an Uber. And because the traffic was atrocious, it would have cost me $80 in a cab because I spent an hour sitting in traffic. This cost me $3.80 and I had a mini bus all to myself. It just operates in like the inner west of Sydney and it kind of takes it's not like Darlinghurst, Surry Hills, inner west. It's like Ashfield, Haberfield, Sydney Olympic Park, kind of going out to the west. Yeah. So I booked and it picks you up from like I had to walk, I don't know, 200 meters to this pickup spot. They've got a few like approved pickup spots, but essentially it was right out front of my house. And it was just me and this one guy I paid. It was like a giant Uber.
Oh, my God.
And it was $3.80. Anyway, my point being.
That is cool.
I booked this transport.
I like that.
And I looked at the time. I was like, look, it'll probably take me about at least half an hour. I'll add an extra 15 minutes. It's 5 o'clock on a Thursday. It didn't. It took me 50 minutes to get to Sydney Olympic Park. And so my friends were waiting for me and we wanted to watch Post Malone. Post Malone was opening for the Chili Peppers but we all really wanted merch. And so I said to them, like, I'm running late, go join the merch line. If I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. I can go get it later or whatever. By the time I got there, they had barely progressed in the merch line and we waited, I reckon, half an hour to get fucking T-shirts. I love my T-shirt. I really do.
T-shirts.
But like, I don't get it. $80 for a white T-shirt with...
$80 for a white T-shirt with the Chili Peppers red star and that's it.
Exactly,
and this is the same kind of shirt that you can buy any indie kind of record
store. You can buy Hot Topic for
$10.
Because
it's the Chili Peppers.
JJ's.
I'll buy a shirt from a concert if a member of the band is selling it to me. If it's anything bigger than that, then just get it online or just don't get it.
No, we'll see. Okay, all right. Across the road from SoFi, they opened up a merch stand that opened the day before any of the concerts. She played six concerts, six nights in at SoFi. The queues were insane and it was open all day the day before, insane queues all day. She had a break in the middle of the Sunday. It was also open that day. Queues were absolutely insane. We got to SoFi Stadium because everyone was like, get there early, the traffic.
Oh, yeah. When did you get there?
So we got there about – doors opened at 4:30. Show start time 6:30. Knew that she plays for 3.5 hours, right? Because normally it says show start 6:30. A band plays for 2 hours, so they don't get on the stage till 9, right?
Yeah.
So if you get there at 7:30, it's not a big deal. We wanted to see Haim, who were her sort of second support act.
Oh, nice.
But we knew that she was going to play for 3.5 hours. So in the end, we got there about 5:15 after all the traffic. Took us like an hour to get there. Parking was great, very easy. We got there, we sort of circled around, got some food, and then we went up to the merch line. And it was like, it was insane. It was like, around it was like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then it went kind of around and out past all the food and then back around and up again. And so it was just this gigantic queue. And
that's,
I was like,
ridiculous.
Oh my God. It was insane. And so I was like, all right, look, here's the thing. We're probably not going to be able to get merch because we're not going to be able to see the show if we stand in this queue. And this is the thing with online, Franco, is I was like, look, all of our merch is mostly online except for one or two things. Let's just buy it online and it will just come and we'll just have it.
I get that there are like some kind of exclusive shirts or whatever that you can only get at the concert, but is it really worth it?
Not worth missing the band that you've gone to see to get a fucking T-shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, okay, so we go sit in our seats, Haim starts, and I'm like, cool, this is great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm going to have a look at the merch online, see how much it costs. I wonder if there's a price difference, blah, blah, blah. Go online. Everything sold out.
Oh.
And I was like,
That's how they get you.
Fuck. Because I was banking on that. I was like, shit. We're going to have to line up. And so Haim finished and I was like, all right, look, this is what we're going to do. As soon as Haim's done, we're going to absolutely book it to the merch stand because people will be filtering. Haim was done. Taylor Swift starting. They're going to be filtering out. The queue is going to be like half the length. We'll be sweet. So we did. But here's the thing. The merch stand.
So did everyone else?
Well, we were on like the first sort of level of seats. The merch stand was on the third level. So to get to the merch stand, we had to come out of our seats, go around to the door, into the sort of inside area, up the escalator, and then so we were kind of looking at the stage, sort of, you know, if the stage is there, we're sort of on the opposite end of the stadium looking at the stage. The merch stand on the third level was behind the stage. So basically go an entire half a stadium around. So we're like, fuck, and we're like running. And then so we get there and look, the queue had like collapsed in half. You know, people were sort of going to their seats. And so, but there was still long. And we're standing there and we're waiting. And by this time it's getting to like, you know, we'd sort of looked online that she'd probably come on stage about 20 past eight. It's getting to like 5 past 8. You know, getting to almost sort of 10 past eight.
Oh, God.
And my wife is like, we have to go back. And I was like, oh, we're like halfway to the front of the queue. She's like, we have to go back. I can't not see her come out.
No.
And I was like, we're like literally like almost there. And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, why don't you leave me? I'll just hang around and I'll get the merch and then you go back to your seat. But the problem is every time you go anywhere, you have to show your ticket. And she had both the tickets. So I was like, okay, fuck, I guess we'll just have to go back. And so we start wandering back. And Taylor Swift, before she comes on, she has this like countdown clock that counts down to when she comes on.
Oh, God.
And remember, we're one level and half a stadium away. And so we sort of start walking back and I kind of go over to look at the screen, to look at the countdown clock to see how long we had. I was like, surely it'd be like 8 minutes or something. Anyway, I look and it clicks to like a minute 52 and I was like,
oh,
we're going to have to fucking sprint. So we're sprinting through SoFi Stadium. We're like running and then we're getting down the escalator and they're like, show us your tickets. And we're like, for fuck's sake, got into our seats as the show started, just got there in time. And so
merchless.
So then I had to fucking, 2 songs in, I was like, all right, well, I'll go get the merch now. And so I left for 3 songs and the queue was like 4 people.
Well, yeah, okay. But yeah, I guess you weren't like a super mega fan. I get your wife being like, I have to be there for when she comes out.
Yeah.
I'm not, like at the Chili Peppers, it was like, I'm getting it before the gig or after the gig. Like I'm not missing any of it. Like I'm here to watch them. I've paid a lot of money to be here. I'm not paying $190 to stand in a merch line for 25 minutes. So I respect your wife's call. Did she get the same shirt as you? It's the one, it's like the black and white images. Is it all her different eras? Is that the idea?
I'm not really sure. I assume so. I don't really follow it enough to know if they're different eras, but I guess so.
How much was that shirt?
What was that worth? Yeah.
This shirt was $45.
US.
American. Okay.
I'm gonna US. Do a conversion.
So here's the thing though.
So that's about $68, which is a lot of money.
I don't know. That's not that bad.
Here's the thing. This is why you've got to go on the day. We can't rely on online, or you've got to go early or whatever, because I get there and, you know, my wife's like, I want this T-shirt and I want this hoodie. So I'm like, all right, hey, I want this and I want this. And they're quick about it, but she comes over and she goes, look, I don't have the sizes.
Oh,
and I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, I've only got a small or a 2X. I was like, well, neither of those are going to work. Mm-mm. So I was like, well, what do you have? So I got this like hoodie and a medium, and then I'm getting another hoodie and a large. And I was like, well, I don't know. That'll have to do, I guess. And so I got my wife's got a similar colored hoodie, which is quite nice. That was $70. And a blue tour exclusive hoodie, which I thought was kind of cool. And that was $65. So I don't know. We got the merch.
And
it happened.
How was the gig itself? Did you do the callbacks or the chants or whatever the fuck it is?
So I was prepared to do the chants, but the people around me only did like 2 chants. So I was like, all right, the chants are coming up. And then I was like, oh, no one's doing it. All right, I guess I won't know. The only one that really happened was the 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch. And I missed that one.
Let's go, bitch.
Oh, my God.
You missed it. Oh, that was the one you were getting so ready for. Oh, no.
Right.
So I feel like, though,
but it was fine. It was a good time.
If you're sitting like up in the stands, like the diehards are on the floor, right? So they're the ones that are going to be doing the call and response shit.
Yeah. You should have been on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, for next time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I couldn't afford that. See, it was a good time. I was on camera duty most of the night, so I filmed like almost the entirety of the show. So that was, you know, a bit of fun.
Yep. It was
a good night. It was a very impressive concert. She plays for 3.5 hours. I don't know. I did do a lot of running to and from the merch stand, but after 3.5 hours, I was knackered.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know
a
how she
long
does it.
Time. It is a long time to watch someone perform.
Yeah.
A controversial opinion. What are you doing with that footage that you filmed of Taylor Swift?
Me personally, nothing. But my wife likes to watch it.
Really?
And she's sent it to other people who want to see it.
See?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, she's been watching it.
How often? Like once? Is she watching it every day?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I saw this great TikTok the other day, and it was this guy talking to another guy, and I was like, hey, I just want to know, did you get the footage of those fireworks the other night? He's like, yeah, man, they're right here on my phone. I filmed the whole thing. And then they're standing there and they're looking at the fireworks. And it just made me laugh so much because I always think that you take the most inane videos of shit like fireworks or Taylor Swift when you
Who
she's
wants
like
to watch the fireworks?
An ant on stage. You can't, I get when the people are on the floor and she's in front of you. I totally get filming that. But filming her when you're fucking a kilometer away from her and you can't even see her face. Like, why?
Yeah,
I'm
a
big fan. I keep my phone in my pocket a lot of the time now. Like, I have really pulled back on like filming things and taking photos of things because I'm like, what am I going to do with it? Like, nothing. I'm not.
When am I ever going to watch that? No, I agree with you.
That was just a little controversial opinion I wanted to insert there.
Yeah. No, I agree as well. Yeah. I'll take one, maybe two photos at a concert. Like, if I've got like a really good view, when I went to Michael Bublé, he was in my B-reel, like, and he was actually looking at the camera. That was nice.
That's great.
Apart from that.
That's worth it. I love that.
Great.
Are you still on B-reel?
I think.
I'm still doing B-reel.
I really thought that was going to take off and it just didn't. It took off for like a week.
I've probably got like 10 friends that still use it every day. It's a nice little catch up. Anyway, carry on.
The thing that I found weird about the Taylor Swift thing is, look, I love a good concert and I think she puts on a great concert. But the one thing I will say is my feed was filled with Taylor Swift concert footage for months and months. And all the footage that's in TikTok and all the footage that's online and in news stories and stuff, it's all from people who are on the floor and who have great seats.
Is it the same as Harry Styles that it's like the talking bits in between and like the things that you will only see at a concert?
No, see, this is the thing. She doesn't do a lot of talking in between.
Oh.
So, look, we had good seats. We were in the seats, you know, in the bleachers. we had good seats. But it even though it was a great show, a little part of me was like, yeah, but I've seen the TikToks where she's like meters away from them and this doesn't
feels
seem
like
as
shit.
Good. So I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. And I feel like, so I went to Green Day quite a few years back, last time they toured, and I had watched their Bullet in a Bible concert on DVD a few times because it's fucking great. It's a great concert DVD. And when I went to the concert, a lot of his banter and a lot of the shit was exactly what he'd done in his tour in 2012 or whenever it was.
Oh, wow. So he's like reusing the material.
Yeah, even the song order was really similar. And I was like, I feel like I've already seen this show 100 times because I've watched it at home so many times. And it's the same with the Harry Styles stuff. Like, I feel like I could tell you what a Harry Styles concert is like because I have seen that many fucking TikToks of him and people going, "Leave America!" and all that stupid shit and his little dance, which I fucking love. But I'm like, do I need to see it in person? I've seen it all over TikTok.
Yeah.
Who cares?
No, I agree with you. And the thing with Harry is at least he's talking in between. He's like, I assume, is different every night. Taylor Swift, there's a little bit of that, but she doesn't do a heap of talking. And a lot of the talking she does do is like clearly rehearsed.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like a meme. The way she introduces songs is
it's
like
a meme now.
It's like,
I saw
you know,
it
she
today.
Was like,
yes.
Yeah. She introduced the man and she was like, oh, you guys are making me feel so powerful, almost like I'm the man. And it's like,
Okay. Do you know what? Okay. The Chili Peppers did barely any crowd interaction And I keep bringing them up because it's
Last time I saw the Chili Peppers and I hated that.
Yeah, it
about
makes
them.
You almost feel like you're intruding on a jam sesh. Like you're like, oh, yeah. They've let me into their garage like to watch them jam. And I feel like when you pay so much money to go see an artist, and I'm not saying they have to fucking put on like a sketch show or something, but like not even acknowledging.
It would be nice though.
Not even, but not even acknowledging you. And because Green Day was great. Billy Joe Armstrong like really amps up the crowd and he gets all the band involved and it's really fun. But yeah, the Chili Peppers just like, just barely even acknowledged us. They were just having a playing to themselves almost, it felt like. I find it disappointing.
I don't know if there's any music artists, any musicians who listen to us and who play, you know, relatively decent sized gigs, but it makes me feel
not
like
that big.
It makes me feel like I know it's their job, and I know they do it every night, they do it six times a week or whatever. Feels a bit routine.
Yeah.
And when you go to a concert, you want, I don't know, there's something about it makes you want to be like, oh, this is a special night. They're
doing
playing
it just
for
me.
And I know that that's not, you know, that's their job. It's what they do every day, but it's what you want to feel like. And when you don't get that kind of level of interaction, I think you then start to feel like, oh, yeah, this is a job for them. And even though it's great and it's fun, it's just part of the routine. And then you wonder if they actually enjoy, like, I mean, again, I don't know how many big artists listen to us, but if you are a big artist and you listen to us,
if you're touring in a different city every night, then please let us know.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to know if you still get joy out of playing your songs, or is it just like
routine?
Just something you do.
Like going into
just
the
like
office
work.
Every day.
You go to work every day.
Yeah.
There are ways that people like get around it. There are some musicians that will pull out like different songs every kind of every show and like mix it up a little bit. You know, a really good rabbit hole though to go down on TikTok is artists saying the name of a different city.
I love
than
that.
In.
I was going to bring that up. I love that so fucking much. But that I can excuse because they're moving around so much. If they're like, hello, Brisbane, and you're like, what, we're in Sydney. Like, yeah, it's fucking embarrassing for them. And you're like, great, you don't even know where you are. You don't even give a shit who we are or where we're from. But God, it's funny. God, I love it. I love it so much. Well, glad you had a great time at Tay Tay. And anyone else heading along? She's heading to Australia. Oh, when's that? Oh, it's not till February. I've got a while.
February?
Yep. Great.
What are you promoting the show?
Apparently.
It's sold out.
Get your tickets wherever.
It's all sold out.
Don't we get going. Taylor on the show?
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe she'll do a press tour with us.
Definitely.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll get her on the show.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've got a question here from Ronnie. They say, long-time listener, first-time asker. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you very much. Yep. For paying your
obligation.
Thanks
for fulfilling your moral obligation to the podcast.
And they say, bear with me. This is a bit of a long one, but I need some life advice. They write, I've been living overseas for the past year and a half for my job. I love it. I've worked my whole life to get to where I am, and I can see myself building my career here. However, while I don't mind my new home, I find myself missing my home where I grew up. I'm from Australia. I've not been able to make many friends in my new country, and I don't like the culture, the vibe, or the city as much, and I feel like I just don't fit in. To add to all of this, I'm in a long-distance relationship with my partner, who I have now been with for just over 4 years, who cannot see herself moving overseas to join me in the near future due to her own circumstances. I have just returned from a visit home to Australia, and after every visit, I find myself missing it more and more and wishing that I was living there. The culture, the weather, all my friends and family, it's where I belong. However, Australia has nowhere near the amount of job opportunities in my industry compared to where I am now, hence why I moved in the first place. So my question is, do I stay where I am and hope that I learn to love the city in order to grow my career that I've worked for my whole life? Or do I move back home where I have friends, family, a partner, and just prefer the lifestyle, but I'll have to settle for a less fulfilling career? Thanks, Sash, Jackson, Franco. You guys are awesome. Love, Ronnie. That is quite a pickle, Ronnie. Oh, quite Ronnie. A pickle.
That is a pickle.
I feel like Jax will potentially have some really good advice here because I think you're so, you know, I know you love LA, you love the States, you always wanted to live there, so it's a little bit different. But in terms of trying to find your feet in a new country and deciding what to choose, because it is, it's definitely a choice, I think, for a lot of people. Some people move overseas and that's it, that's their life. There are so many expats in Australia of people who have moved overseas. And I always think, I don't think I could live away from home forever. Like, I just don't think I could do it. I would love to do a 6 month to a year like trip, like do like a working holiday, but I could never move overseas. I'd miss home too much.
I think the thing that I think is, and look, I understand, Ronnie. I mean, you know, I come from Australia too. And I think
I come from a land
down under. Throw another shimp on the belly.
Wow, that accent really came out there.
It was really awkward. Love it.
What happened to me? Look, I think that Australia is kind of like this. I personally feel Australia is like this big, warm safety blanket, right? And it's like it's safe there. It's nostalgic. It's what you've known for your whole life. It's like, you know, I can easily see myself living there because I have my whole life. And it's, you know, I don't have to think about going to a different supermarket. I don't have to think about finding new brands. I don't have to think about finding new clothes. I don't have to think about fitting into a different culture. I don't have to think about the fact that I have an accent now in this new country. I don't have to think about, you know, when am I going to see my, you know, friends and family from home again? I don't have to think about any of those things, right? And it can be really tempting to be like, that just seems a lot easier. But I will say, you know, and look, as you said, Sash, I really enjoy it here. I love LA. I love that, you know, obviously that my industry is an industry that is significantly bigger here, and you can have a very viable career and a long career here versus Australia, where it's a lot harder, especially to make a good living. Look, you've been there for a year and a half. And it makes it really hard when you don't have a partner with you, when you have a partner who isn't interested.
So hard.
I don't know if there's a visa situation there. I don't know if they've been able to visit you, and I don't know how far away you are or what country it is. So it's you know, it's hard to know without all the variables. But look, I would say it sounds like you're kind of pining and have been for a while. I would say sometimes we get caught up in this, like you move overseas, for example, and you can't help but compare, or you can't help but like think about when I'm going to move home, or you know, my family or whoever, whatever it is that kind of keeps you connected to Australia. I'm not saying don't stay connected to Australia, but you know, maybe try and embrace the place that you're in, even for 6 months or a little bit longer, just to give it a proper go. Mm. Like, go out, make some friends, embrace the place, and change your mindset to think, okay, if I did stay here, what would that look like? And not necessarily put a timeline on it. Because, look, if you come into a place and that you're expecting to love and you want to love, and it just turns out it's not for you, that's also okay. Like, I mean, work's not everything. I don't know what it is that you do and what industry you're in. Obviously, there are things that are more important than money, especially if you have a partner who is living away from you. But sometimes we can fall into this trap of, like, you come overseas and you're like, I'm only going to do this for 6 months, or I'm only going to do this for a year, or I'm only going to do this for 2 years, or man, this sucks because, you know, and this actually happened to me, I think, when I moved to the Central Coast, and I was like, I'm only going to do this for 2 years max. And then it just became this thing of like, why am I here?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? I don't even really want to be here. But if you go into it with this sort of more open mind, and like the minute you start kind of putting restrictions on yourself or not making friends because you're like, I'm only going to be here temporarily, it becomes like self-fulfilling. You have a shit time because you want to have a shit time, and then you're like, well, I'll just go home because it's easier and it's more fun.
That's so true. And it's funny you brought up the Central Coast, because I did the same thing on the coast, and I think it was harder for me because I was so close to Sydney. It felt like I was just out of reach, and so I could drive an hour and a half every weekend and go home. And, you know, Shane wasn't living with me at the time, so, you know, we were traveling to see each other and stuff. I always felt like I had one foot in Sydney and one foot on the Central Coast, and I should have embraced the Central Coast more because –
I wish I'd embraced the Central Coast
I'll never live there again. Like, well, I highly doubt I'll ever live there again. You know, and, you know, you live near the beach, there's a different culture. Like, and I should have lived there. Because when I moved to Port Macquarie, which is like 5 hours out of Sydney, so I was in Port Macquarie and I was only there for such a short amount of time, but I really loved it and I had to kind of assimilate, so to speak, to the country town vibe, because that was all I had. Like, I couldn't just go home for the weekend all the time. It was an ordeal, you know what I mean? Like, Shane and I took one weekend on, one weekend off. But, like, I thought I was going to be there for a while, whereas the Central Coast, I was like, I'm so close to Sydney. I'm nearly there. I might as well just, you know, act like I really live in Sydney and I'm just kind of working on the Central Coast. And I should have enjoyed it more. And I think that's great advice is, you know, maybe, Ronnie, it does sound like, though, that Ronnie has a choice between, you know, career and comfort, I guess. And, you know, like, we don't know the specifics of your industry or if it is really going to be that worse off if you try and get a job doing what you're doing in Australia. But I think the suggestion to really try and embrace where you are for 6 months and see if that changes anything. Because, it's joining a club or doing a class or, you know, finding an expat community even. Maybe finding some fellow Aussies that you can hang out with that, you know, you guys can talk about home and you get what each other's referencing and, you know, you can talk about Milo and Tim Tams or whatever the hell it is you want to talk about. But doing those things, you know, embracing where you are for 6 months and going, I'm going to give this a red hot crack and see if I can turn this around. Because, you know, if career is important to you, I get it. It's really hard to be like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to choose family. I'm going to choose my partner over something that I've worked so hard you know?
And not make as much money or not have as much success if it's something that's really important to you. You know, I think sometimes you can view something like this as temporary and that just makes it all really temporary in your head. And I mean, the other thing is I'll say is homesickness is also just a part of living overseas. So it's okay to kind of pine for Australia sometimes and to miss things. Like we were talking.
We talked at last episode. You know,
last episode about I miss fish and chips sometimes and I miss grilled sometimes. And I miss, you know, sometimes I miss that just being able to like go over to my friend's house, you know, and just, you know, my friends who I've known for 10 years and just hang out for a bit. You know, I miss that sometimes, but that's part of, you know, it's okay to miss that. I feel like you don't necessarily have to, you know, I mean, and look, if you are having a really shit time and you really know that like this isn't for you, then, you know, or maybe there's another country that maybe, or another city in the country that you're in that, you know, depending on visas or whatever, that can provide the life that you want to have that maybe your partner is more willing to move to, but that is not exactly, you know, where you are now. But it's okay to sometimes, you know, want Tim Tams or whatever it is. You know, maybe your family can send over some Tim Tams and things like that. But, you know, if you, you know, try and embrace where you are and what you're doing and the city that you're in and what it has to offer, and not necessarily compare it to Australia and what Australia has to offer, like embrace the city and the place and the country you're in for what it has to offer and what it does well, rather than compare it to, well, yeah, but in Australia it's like this and in Australia we do this better or in Australia it's nicer because of this. If you can find the good parts in the city that you live in, sometimes that's all it takes. And suddenly you're like, wow, actually this is a cool place to live and I actually enjoy it here. And then I have friends now and I have, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's totally fair. Franco, anything you want to add? You've been awfully quiet for the last 5 minutes.
I've been listening to your opinions and I agree with everything that you guys have said. I think the one thing that I would add, having said, like, I definitely agree you should try it out and try and be a part of the city that you're in. I just very generally speaking, think people put too much importance on career. And I know that's like a super general thing to say, but you should definitely prioritize your own mental health and your own happiness over any kind of job or any kind of industry.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm in a very lucky position where my dream job also makes me happy. But if that wasn't the case, then I would be perfectly fine, you know, taking a significant pay cut and working in a cafe if it meant that I was happy every day. So that should be your top priority.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think that's probably where I would lean to as well. I just know that feeling of like working so hard for something. But you're right. It's, you know, I think it's been the attitude for too long. And it's like, well, what's going to make you happy? If you're miserable, Ronnie, like just call it. Maybe don't do 6 months, maybe do 3 months and see if you can turn it around. But yeah, like honestly, and if your partner's not willing to move there, well, are you going to break up? Or you know, you can't have a long distance marriage. That just doesn't work.
That's tricky.
You know what I mean?
That's some tricky conversations to have.
Yes.
I mean, look, the last thing I'll say is you're in control of your own, we're all in control of our own lives. And so at the end of the day, I think this is another thing that sometimes it can feel like you've done this, right? You've moved overseas, you've been there for a year and a half. And it's almost like you put these rules on yourself of like, well, I have to stay here because, you know, I've done this now or I have to stay here or I'm supposed to like it or whatever. At the end of the day, we're in control of our lives, right? So if you're like, I'm going to give this red hot crack for six months and you get 6 weeks in and you're like, nah, this is shit, you can go home.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing really, that's the thing about being an Australian, the lucky thing about being an Australian is we can go home at any time and we can just, you know, often we have families who can take us in even if we can't afford to rent or a partner, in your case, maybe Ronnie, who can take you in if you can't afford to rent. So, you know, and sometimes just knowing that, sometimes just kind of remembering that you're in control of your life and you can at any point you can say, nah, I'm going home or I'm going to go home to visit or I'm, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes that just really helps clear things up for you and help you make the decision about what to do next.
Very sage advice, Jax. Too sage for you.
Sometimes I do.
Well, Ronnie, we hope that helps. And I'll send you Tim Tam thoughts and fish and chip thoughts and what else is uniquely Australian?
If you're in the US, AFL. I'll send you over some Tim Tams.
AFL thoughts.
Or come visit me. I'll be mates with you.
Be mates with Jax. Do you live in LA?
I wonder
where they do live. Hit up Jax. There you go. There's an expat friend. You guys can start your own expat community.
Yes. I had the idea that there is a very slight chance that Ronnie is working on Wall Street, which I think is one example where everyone is like so attached to their jobs and they feel like they need to be there, but it makes absolutely everyone who does it ridiculously depressed. And if that happens to be a situation, my advice is get out.
Get out.
Get out. I mean, the other thing, Ronnie, is if you're making a heap of money, like if you're on Wall Street and you're making like $750,000 a year, do it for a couple of years and then piss off. Take the money and run.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, know when to get out. And don't do the drugs that everyone's doing.
Drugs are bad.
Oh, yeah, stay away from that.
Stay away from drugs. That's what we'll leave you with, everyone. Stay away from drugs.
Stay away from drugs. On that note, that's it for today.
It's time to go. It's time to go.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
No, what? Jax. You know it's not that. Make like a tree and leave. Leaf.
It's a make like a tree and get the fuck out of here.
Okay, yeah. It's not correct. Anyway.
I don't get it. Like everyone's cutting down trees? Deforestation?
No, All right.
Anyway.
It's not funny when you need to explain it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Okay.
I just always thought it was make like a tree
Thanks
and
for your
leave.
Questions.
Leave.
No, it yeah, is. It's, so yeah, the anyway. Joke is that Thanks that's what questions. We're expecting. So he's saying something totally different and that's the, don't worry.
Totally different. Yeah. Make like a tree and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I like that.
Send us your questions at Can We Help Your Podcast on social media, canwehelpyourpodcast.com. It is your obligation and duty as a listener. And we'll be back in a few days with some more questions. And don't forget, you can send Master Debaters rapid fires, hot topics, red flags. Send us anything.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from
okay.
you.
Okay.
And until next time, stay away from the drugs.
Adios.
I guess.
Okay. Stay away from the drugs on Wall Street.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.